You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim on the 405. We have a Pilgrim on the 405 who's slightly north of where we are up here, up in Mill Valley. We have Chris Hale, CEO and founder of a wonderful, wonderful service called Countable. So tell us about Countable, Chris. Welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405. But tell us about Countable.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Countable is a global technology platform that was built to solve a specific problem that we learned about at our launch in East Africa. Have since come to learn that it's a global problem and are excited to be bringing it back to the U.S. Next month. And the problem is around supply chains and the role that small businesses play in supply chains. A lot of people don't realize that small businesses are critical players in some of the most important supply chains in the world. Specifically, healthcare is a major one, technology another, and industrials around things like energy and water. And these small businesses are often, you know, the last critical piece in execution. It might be delivering vaccines or testing kits. It might be building a computer lab for a girl's school, or it might be a telco to solar. And in all of those examples, small businesses play a key role, and they're typically not given a digital solution to participate in supply chains the same way the enterprise is. And so we help them go through a digital transformation, come onto the platform, access a whole suite of tools and resources to make them better at what they do. And most importantly, because they're now digitally native, they become much more attractive to investors and funders who can help them scale their businesses.
Yeah, so we hear on television, we hear and we see FedEx and UPS shipping all of these enormous amounts of very delicate vaccines, and we see them coming to government institutions. We also see them coming to CVS and Walgreens, and now Walmart, but they couldn't do that without a lot of small businesses in between, right?
That's right. That's right. And you know, there are big systems of record like an SAP or a Microsoft Dynamics that work for the enterprise, but there's not a great solution for small businesses. And to take it back to my introduction about the platform, you know, when we went to Kigali, Rwanda back in 2015, to focus on using data to improve financial inclusion, you know, we quickly learned that these small businesses were selling to major organizations. They were selling to the United Nations, to the World Bank, to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, to ministries of health and education. And we thought to ourselves, okay, so if these major institutions are relying on these small businesses to provide this critical infrastructure and these services, you know, where else is this a problem? And we've come to find out, you know, this is a major problem in the United States. And, you know, we didn't see, to your question, this happening, this, you know, COVID happening and sort of disruptions to supply chains and then this major global effort to combat COVID and requirement to focus on health equity. And now there are tons of different cohorts of people, different populations, different demographics, different locations, different ethnicities, all of whom, you know, need to be served with this COVID response. And the small businesses in their communities are often the best to figure out how to do that because they
understand. Right, so then a small business would a small business would like to participate in this logistics mm-hmm. path, mm-hmm. correct? And it'd be sort of like making a bid in a federal project. Mm-hmm. Is it similar to that? I mean, you got to have some way of making your presence known.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the areas that we see a large opportunity, if we were to put COVID aside for a second, is around the construction industry and infrastructure. Right. So to use your example of a federal contract and a bid. Is, you know, we have an administration in office, you know, as a result of the election, who's got a big focus on investing in Americans' infrastructure, right? And then there's also a big focus on financial inclusion and diversity. And the challenge.
What do you mean financial inclusion? What does that mean?
Sure. Yeah. So there are lots of populations that as a result of our traditional financial infrastructure, you know, things like credit scores, balance sheet underwriting, how long a business has been in operations, you know, the credit status of its founder and owner, who aren't able to win these kinds of contracts. They're not able to bid, they're not able to participate, and it makes it challenging. And so Countable's platform is built around unlocking those opportunities.
It's not necessarily that the not credit worthy, it's they don't have the infrastructure to provide the necessary documents.
Yeah,
is that what we're talking about?
Right. Sometimes it's data scarcity, packaging. And you know, the thing that we focused on, Will, is can this business execute? Right? Do they have a history of delivering? And that Accountable measures and normalizes and then broadcasts back to all of our different, you know, investors, enterprise partners. And if a business can execute, then they should be, you know, included in these contracts. And so that we're focused on is this digital transformation process I described, is to document, measure, and broadcast execution capability and expand the opportunity set to these populations.
All right. So, I mean, I've worked with companies that were looking to find access to bids for federal government projects, and there were people who taught them how to do that, and in a sense, what you're saying is not only am I going to teach people how to do that, we're going to help them build the document and data infrastructure that really shows what they're doing.
Yes, and through that process, because we built an automated tech-enabled process to go through that packaging and measure one's ability to execute against that process, we have investors who actually capitalize these projects. Not only, you know, do we help them bid and win, but we help them fund the acquisition of inventory and the relative services needed to be delivered to execute. And that's really, you know, how the technology and the data model that we've built lends itself to expanding, you know, the population that can win and benefit from these major commitments at the federal level.
Well, so talk to me about, give me some stories about people in Urwanda where you started.
Sure.
What are some stories about those small to medium enterprises? You call them SMEs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Give me some stories about the SMEs in Urwanda that you have helped.
Sure. So one of our, you know, most successful customers, and you can find him on the website, his name is Fabrice. He ran a company called Africa Medical Supply. He still does. And Africa Medical Supply had contracts with the Ministry of Health to source, procure, and deliver rapid diagnostics tests for malaria. You know, major epidemic issue in the region, and, you know, testing to determine whether one has malaria or something else, you know, is major impact on outcomes. And fighting malaria is a heavily funded area by organizations like the Gates Foundation or the Global Fund or USAID. But the supply chain was not digitized and certainly wasn't optimized. And so Fabrice was left on his own to figure all this out. And so he came to us and said, hey, this is the job that I've been asked to do. And so we helped him to win those contracts, fulfill those contracts, digitize the process and deliver. And he scaled his business tremendously as a result and branched out into other verticals and you know, added other capabilities to his business. And so it was something our investors were proud to support, right? We were generating financial returns, meaningful impact, and helping a small business scale up all at the same time by deploying our platform into that supply chain.
So without you, what would have happened? The Ministry of Health says we want these things to be supplied.
Yep.
Without you, what would have been the steps, the process?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that happen. One is things get very expensive. You know, the availability of capital is, if it's even possible, it's definitely very expensive on a relative basis.
So this would be capital for him to procure the goods.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. In addition, you know, the business process does not get documented and digitized and therefore isn't repeatable and open for optimization. And so it's just a one-off every single time, right? You're not building any history. And it's that history that's actually the asset of these small businesses that can help make things get more effective, you know, larger scale and less expensive. And then, you know, the third thing I would say is major delays. So putting together this, you know, this a project like this on one's own as a small business is tough, right? The underwriting from banks is tough. The, you know, sourcing of supply is tough. Digital identity for small business is tough. And so all of those challenges compounded just make this stuff go slow. And when it goes slow, it looks like the small business can't perform. But it's actually this challenge of infrastructure that's the problem.
The business would have gotten a poor record, but also if people were inclined to have a stereotype, then they would say, well, you see, that's what happens when you work with local people in Africa.
That's right, and it's not. You know, it's someone's effort to recognize a pattern that isn't there because they don't have the information.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the digital transformation process is about for these small businesses, and why, frankly, Will, the company is called Countable, is the idea is that there's tradable data that businesses have, right? There's effort and energy and outcomes and, you know, processes that they're executing against all day, every day that are offline. And if you can digitize all those processes and turn that data into tradable data, then the patterns people recognize are very different. And they don't make the kinds of assumptions that you described. They say, oh, look, like this guy is ready to execute, or this woman is executed over and over and over again, and they can prove it. And that really changes the types of patterns people recognize.
So if we had been a week ago, and a company said, look, they need water in Texas. Could you have helped them connect to investors and provide the kind of data that would help to make the project work?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a funny thing, right? There's a lot of big organizations like Deloitte just put out a paper as an example on a digital supply chain network. And it's kind of a new idea because supply chains were super vertically integrated and linear. And that was part of the way that they got optimized, right? But when you have new problems, new crises, like the many that we seem to face far too regularly today, you need new actors, right? You need new people to execute, and you need a different kind of network. And that's what Countable allowed to build, right? Is technology makes that possible in a way today that wasn't possible even 5 years ago.
All right. So what role would Countable play? One of my clients is a manufacturer. They manufacture pumps. And they had a rod that was coming from China. All right. Now, last March, all of a sudden, they discovered the rods were not coming from China, not in the foreseeable future. They had to find a different supplier. What role could Countable have played in that?
Yeah, and it's a good question. One of the things that we don't do a ton of today is acquisition of raw inputs. We're typically more focused on highly finished goods, getting to the final destination. So, you know, the problem set that you described is around what one would refer to as a typical supply chain, right? Where you're buying unfinished inventory, adding value, and delivering a product. Countable is best suited to distribution. Right, where one would want to consume that pump in some capacity, and we would be finding the market and the small business purchaser that might buy from your customer.
If this company wanted to expand into Africa, you might be able to help them.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we have orders for pumps on the platform right now. I don't know what kind of pump it is. Well, we buy from companies like Schlumberger and others, you know, for water filtration, for
These are water pumps. These are water pumps. They do water pumps for domestic water departments.
Yeah. I mean, we've sold to the Port of Kenya for, mm-hmm. for water pumps. I know that for a fact. And it's funny, right? Because these big buyers, like the government of Kenya, who runs the port, they put out an RFP and that's won by a Kenyan business. Mm-hmm. And that Kenyan business needs to go find the pumps. Without Countable, right. There's really no chance they're going to find your friend.
So when you talk about SMEs, tell me what an SME is in your mind.
Yeah, it's a great question with lots of definitions depending on who you ask. I can tell you that our average customer's turnover per year is somewhere north of 250,000 and somewhere south of 50 million.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's kind of the range right. that we fit in when we're working with SMEs. You know, one would argue that an SME goes much larger to 250 million or more, but not the markets we tend to operate in.
Well, when I think of SMEs for my company, it's 10 to 250 employees, mm-hmm. which sounds like that could be very similar to yours.
Yep.
So you're bringing this back to the States. Tell me what that means.
Sure. Yeah, so we spent a lot of time, years building a platform that around this problem. And it's a unique problem, and it's a different type of technology that one would build. So people ask about, you know, competitors or analogs. And because we started with the SME as our prime platform user, we ended up building a very different technology. And what we've come to learn is that that solution does not exist in the U.S. market in any way, shape, or form, and that there are many, many motivated large businesses that would like to see it exist. And the mm-hmm. reason for that is, you know, companies have made commitments to supplier diversity. Right? They want to see a more diverse set of suppliers serving them than they have today. They want to mm-hmm. do that both for corporate social responsibility, but as well as for strategic risk management. Mm-hmm. And what they're effectively saying is we need to broaden our suppliers base into the long tail of supply chain, right? It's a kind of a very different paradigm than what happened over the previous, you know, 25 years. And that demand is what has really catalyzed our decision to move back into the United States, is that the mandate from corporate America is there. And we have a solution that can help make that more turnkey for mm-hmm. large multinational corporations that have made this commitment to activate, onboard, and optimize those supplier relationships so they can better serve these corporate customers.
Hmm. All right. So in a real sense, you are creating a much more accessible playing ground, maybe not leveling it, but a more accessible playing ground for international sales.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily international sales, right? So when we say we're bringing it home to the U.S., you know, there are organizations like Microsoft as a great leading example who are part of the billion-dollar roundtable. And there's many, many companies, mm-hmm. Coca-Cola, Walmart, there's many companies on it, where they are already spending $1 billion a year with suppliers that would qualify as diverse suppliers. And that all happens right here in the U.S. Most corporations want to expand that. And there's a lot of drivers behind it. You know, one is the sort of awareness that's developed in the United States over the last 12 months around social justice and financial inclusion. But the other is market driven around investors' focuses on things like environmental social governance and, you know, committing to the sustainable development goals developed by the United Nations. Those are starting to drive stock prices, right? And they're focused on delivering on ESG mandates. And so Countable helps corporations hit those marks by improving their supplier diversity programs. Mm.
So how did you get into this very creative project, logistical project?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I come from the asset management world prior to running Countable. I've built a number of different asset management businesses, many of which still exist and are run by successful entrepreneurs today. In that world, I saw a couple things happening. One was, you know, this movement toward a different paradigm around investing that some would call mm-hmm. ESG investing, some would call impact investing. Whatever the right moniker is, I understood that this was becoming a big trend. The second thing I understood was that there was a real allocation problem around product. The investor appetite for these kinds of investments far exceeded the readily available investment universe. So that to me seemed like an opportunity. The thing that was frankly a bit lucky was that my co-founder took us to Rwanda based on relationships that she had there. And we learned about this relatively unknown problem that's actually globally pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
And built a technology around that idea that if we could normalize these business processes, digitize them, and take small businesses through this transformation process, that we would be able to build a investment product to satisfy that demand for allocation. And that's really what we've been doing for the last 5 years. And you know, the north of $60 million in projects that we've executed in East Africa, every single one of them has been mapped to the Sustainable Development Goals and to environmental and social governance frameworks. And none of them failed to satisfy at least one of those criteria.
This is a wonderful project that you've got. I'm curious, who pays you?
It's a good question. So we have a membership model, right? So part of the value proposition of Countable is that it's a trust network. And we, you know, curate every relationship on the platform. It's a mm-hmm. bit different than a lot of other traditional marketplaces in that we want to, you know, we verify every person who touches any goods on the platform. And that's part of the value proposition of the brand. So people need to pay mm-hmm. to be validated and verified and to be members to consume the technology.
Is it one time or ongoing?
That's a subscription. Yep. And uh-huh. they get their ongoing validation and certifications, and then they also get access to the platform and the technology itself. We have enterprise customers who are interested in this data. So because we're digitizing the SME population, we have a new data set that, to our knowledge, doesn't exist anywhere else. And it extends supply chain visibility and matching capabilities of enterprise supply chain tools through the SME population. And so enterprises pay for that visibility and transparency. And then the third is, you know, we sell all kinds of products in the form of, you know, capital solutions, insurance solutions, sourcing to optimize the supply chain transactions. So those are kind of the three ways that we get paid.
So do you track the delivery of products?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if we're going to deploy capital on behalf of investors, we have to know where those assets are. Right. And so at the mm-hmm. end of the day, I think the part of the novel concept that underpins Countable's business is supply chains are investable assets, right? They have very valuable goods moving through them. And mm-hmm. it's created a technology that unlocks that. And in order to present that to investors with good conscience, we got to know where the stuff is every step of the way.
So I was reading this morning that one of the Maersk super container ships lost 700 containers over the side recently. You would have been tracking that, right? If it had to do with your...
Yeah, in some cases, we'll use like an IoT solution, where we would, in some capacity, have known. It really depends on the solution. Out in the middle of the ocean is a pretty expensive solution. Mm-hmm. where you're having sort of data transferring. And so depending on the cargo, we may or may not have had a solution like that on board. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, though, unfortunately for whoever was holding the bag, in that case, I suspect that those containers were insured. Mm-hmm. There was an insurance claim that had to be made. And so you have a supply chain issue, you have a capital issue, and then you have an insurance process that needs to be run. And it's one of the things that Countable's platform is really uniquely built to do is kind of map what are called Incoterms, the traditional terms of trade, to who owns what and when and who's responsible for it. Pretty tricky when you're thinking about including an SME in your supply chain. And it's something we've had to solve for from both a data and a capital perspective.
Wow. So what would you said you have $60 million in projects from Africa.
Yep.
What do you think, what would you think that been the probability of those coming to fruition without your solution?
Yeah, I mean, it's far less. I can't guess at a percentage, but what I can tell you is that when we don't work with customers, their businesses, you know, do a fraction of what they do when they're on the platform. And sometimes I would say as much as 10 to 1. So, you know, can I say with good conscience that those projects wouldn't have ever gotten done? No, I think, you know, the ingenuity of entrepreneurs will always prevail and they'll figure out how to get it done. But I think it would have been,
could have been longer, more expensive. Could have been more expensive.
Yeah. Lower quality is often a problem when you're an entrepreneur, right? You have to make bad choices about quality because things get so expensive. So that's one of the things we pride ourselves on is, you know, there's a supply chain concept called OTIF, on time in full, typically can't be applied to this population. We deliver on that. We deliver on quality assurance, you know, all of the things that one would expect from an industrial supply chain. Accountable can help deliver through this population.
So help me to understand now this participation, the cost of participation, is that how do you determine that? Is that just a fixed fee or is it graduated? What?
So we have three different models, and it's kind of based on what you consume from the platform. So we do have a free option, and that's a network membership. And the free option is really, you know, for people trying to figure out their business, plugging into supply chain, see who's on the network. It might be someone who, you know, oftentimes small businesses are running a project or not. And so they go back and forth between those states. Then we have two membership levels. One is called Pro and one is called Premium. And these are not for the enterprise. These are for the small business. And, you know, the Pro level allows you to trade on the platform. It's currently $50 a month, which is pretty inexpensive for a business membership. And then
goodness.
The membership, you get a whole lot more support from our team. So there's a human capital cost. And we have a really talented global team with backgrounds from places like Standard Chartered, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, you know, international banks, masters in supply chain and operations, really, really great team. That's for $500 a month. You get access to that side. And then for the enterprise, it's more bespoke depending on what they want to consume from a data perspective.
Sure. Yeah. Well, my heart is with the SME rather than the enterprise. So, but that's certainly a reasonable kind of a reasonable cost.
Yeah. I mean, it's we think really demonstrably pays for itself pretty quickly. Because
new sets
of opportunities that we're helping unlock. So it's really about net new business as much as it is about optimizing business process.
Well, how closely do you work with the SMEs around the world?
Closely, yeah. So we, you know, there's kind of three ways I can answer that. One is, you know, the technology framework puts them through a process management exercise that is pretty intimate. And the reason for that is, you know, I mentioned the scoring methodology and the presentation of the data. Adherence to that process is a really valuable asset that they can help to build. So they're super engaged with the platform itself. And then we have different team members supporting their business that ultimately lend to the governance. And what I mean by that is we have something called a treasury cloud, right? And that treasury cloud is how we run all the money on the platform. And having a third-party treasury professional with a background from JP Morgan running the money for the investors is actually a resource to the small business, right? They can say, look at the team I have protecting your investment. And so the investor's money comes right into the treasury cloud. The professional treasurer runs it. We prove all of the, you know, the distributions of the capital. We prove the movement of the goods. And we prove the collection at the end. And so in that way, you know, the SMEs are really engaged with our team because the team is enhancing their capability as a small business.
Well, now, are these SMEs, are they primarily brokers? I mean, example you used from Rwanda was buying pumps or buying, you had a healthcare facility, healthcare material.
Yep.
And so they would have to go out and secure that. Does any of your SMEs actually produce it?
Yeah, so we we have had manufacturers on the platform. The way I would answer that question more accurately is a lot of our SMEs are solutions engineers. So they'll go out and buy, say, for example, you know, they'll be hired to I use the example of a computer lab, right? So they're hired to deliver a computer lab, and they have to go out and buy servers, switches, computers, cables, you know, routers, et cetera, design a solution that works well in that environment. In that case, there was a latency issue, there was dust issues, there was connectivity issues. So they had to build, you know, local servers that went to the cloud overnight when bandwidth demand was low. And so we help buy all those inputs, manage the process end to end, manage the commissioning and delivery, and then the collection. And so in that case, you know, they weren't manufacturing sort of a widget, but they certainly were building a solution for a customer.
Well, all right. So when you we're going to put together this series of computer labs around the country, and you are involved, or you make the decision about who's going to supply the computers?
We're involved. Because we're a trust network, right? We're really committed to making sure that quality is adhered to, you know, that suppliers are going to deliver. And then we also add, and this is important for investors and hopefully not too complex, but we add screens around know your customer and anti-money laundering and bank regulations called OFAC. And all of this is fairly sophisticated governance that an SME themselves might not be able to adhere to, but is really beneficial when you're thinking about selling to enterprise customers, to be able to say that you can deliver.
Well, are the suppliers part of the network?
Yes.
So they too are vetted?
Yes.
So that's where a manufacturer would be participating in the trust network.
That's right.
And they would pay their $50 a month or $500 a month to be part of it?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the size of their business, but yes, that's right. You know, and it's one of the things that we're committing to is because we are running the money as part of the platform, right? We're making payments out of a U.S. bank to international businesses. And so we want to make sure we run the appropriate screens to allow that to continue to happen at a price and a scale that serves the network.
That sounds like, it sounds like you guys have really thought through an enormous number of complexities.
Yes. I would love to tell you that we thought through them all before we started. But we didn't. A lot of it.
Well, but what you were doing that for the SME who otherwise would not have done it, or would have done it sloppily, or would have taken them a long time.
It is complex. And I'll give you that. It is complex.
Well, and in a real sense, you're failing for the SMEs, and you can afford to do that.
We were. That's right. That's right. And we, and you know, a lot of those lessons learned, to your point, can be scaled across the community. Right. So there's a very real feedback loop where something we learn in one project can now benefit the next 1,000 that we run through the platform.
Well, now in this trust community, are they communicating with each other?
So in some cases, yes. It's not a feature we've turned on or facilitated, but it's on the roadmap.
Oh, it's on the roadmap. Yeah, because to me, I mean, just to have 30 minutes talking with you, to me, is just an enormous imagination and experience of how you are helping the small entrepreneur in Africa or any place else in the world to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you're touching on and you know, aligning with is trade is a universal language, right? It really is. And it can connect businesses in a way that people don't appreciate. And we've seen it, you know, we've seen in buying from India, buying from China, buying from Belgium, delivering into South Sudan, delivering into Rwanda, you know, working with major brands like Becton Dickinson and Abbott, all the way to unknown brands in East Africa. There's a language, there's a process, and there's outcomes that are universal, and people appreciate that.
Well, and I mean, I've been watching Stanley Tucci's documentary or his show on CNN about discovering Italy, And when he talked about Florence, the Medici, that was all trade. The Renaissance was flourished because of trade. And that's what I hear you having your thumb in so many different places. And I use thumb because you're really working with the small folks. Amazing.
Yeah. And I took some art history classes in college, not many, but was sort of obsessed with exactly what you're talking about. So it's funny that you picked up on that, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just amazing, just absolutely amazing. So when you come to the United States, how are you going to do that? Because to me, this sounds like when you talk about financial inclusion, you talk about helping. How are you bringing that to the United States and to help the SMEs here who have maybe not been, because of any one of a number of stereotypical exclusions, and not been part of the network? What are you going to do?
So our corporate strategy going forward is through partnership. We know we've delivered a valuable platform, and that it solves problems for, lots of stakeholders. One of the problems it solves is helping, corporations or government entities to deliver on these mandates and these commitments. And so we've aligned ourselves with some corporate partners that we'll be announcing in the very near term, who have made these commitments to financial inclusion and supplier diversity. And that's how we'll come home to the market. But the platform, as I mentioned, it's online, it's at countable.com, and it's free to join. So we expect that energy, activity and noise will stimulate the SME market here in the US.
Excellent. All right. So what would you like listeners to do? We've talked about what they should know, but what would you like them to do?
Yeah, I mean, so if there are small business listeners out there, you can go to the platform, you can check it out. Like I said, countable.com with a K. You can sign up for a network membership. It's really straightforward. And start to learn about, Countable's business model and what we're focused on. Same thing can happen for an enterprise or a government customer who want to improve their supplier diversity. We made it really simple to learn about the business and really simple to sign up. And, we're building a network at the end of the day, and it's a trust network, and it's a network committed to this SME population. So any of your listeners that have the same level of commitment and want to join us on the journey, we'd love to have you help us execute against the mission.
And so the best place to make this happen is countablewithak.com.
That's right.
And if they want to talk to you personally, how could they do that?
So I would say the best way to reach out to me personally is through LinkedIn. I'm a fairly big user of LinkedIn, but not a big user of much other social media. It's not my favorite means of communication. But happy to take connection on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Chris. This has been very interesting. I'm fascinated with what you're doing and just applaud it, because this is a wonderful way to help those who may have not been as much a part of the trade in the world as they could be.
Thanks, Will. It's been quite a journey, and we're rewarded by our customer success.
Excellent. Well, here's just another example of how businesses in California thrive, but also how businesses in California are helping businesses around the world thrive. So just one more piece of the journey on the Pilgrim on the 405.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.